Mr. President and fellow citizens, because of our disobedience to the law of our Heavenly Father as laid down in the Constitution of the United States, there is an enemy in this great land who from its very inception has sought to turn brother against brother. This enemy is fully aware that a house divided against itself cannot stand. The only way that he can destroy us is to once again turn brother against brother and reduce us to a people who are totally wrapped up in our own selfish and avaricious pursuits. In the meantime, he is destroying our very heritage and the foundation upon which we stand as a nation. We were once so great, but today we are like frightened sheep. Now we must follow the voice of our great shepherd, who will show us how we can rid ourselves of the most horrible plague that has ever cursed mankind. We must repent of our disobedience, return to our God, and drive the money changers out of our temple and out of our land. The outcome is certain, and the victory is assured.
Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. In the beauty of the lilies, Christ was born across the sea, with a glory in his bosom that transfigures you and me. As he died to make men holy, let us die to make men free. Our God is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on.
And it is March 15, 2025, and we welcome you folks out there. We thank you for being here this morning. I'm going to bring the men on the line. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning.
And good morning, Will.
Good morning.
Well, and thanks for being here this morning. And thank you, Remnant, for being here this morning as well. I'm going to ask Tim to say a prayer for us this morning. But before we get started, Tim, I just wanted to say I was up quite a bit of most of last night. Good friend of mine was driving down I-25 headed south, and on his way across Arizona or to Arizona, and was in a bad car accident. He had his wife and his daughter were in the vehicle with him, and both of them were pronounced dead on the scene. They were trying to fight for her life, him out of there. Weather conditions were too bad for that, so they were just basically waiting for road conditions to clean up so they could transport him. So would appreciate if you would keep that in your prayers. And Tim, I'm going to leave him anonymous for now, but would ask that you just lift his family up in your prayers as well.
Certainly will. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, and Lord, we praise you for the power that you show daily that is unbeknownst to us. Lord, in times of adversity, you are there. In times of joy, you are there. Lord, we don't always understand the seasons of these things that you bring upon us or put upon us or that we deal with. But Lord, we thank you that you are there for us to lean on. Lord, I pray for this family that is in a time of great need. And Lord, I pray that this need would be met with urgency as we count speed, Lord, that you would pave the way. Lord, the groaning of our souls must be interpreted, because there's times we just don't know how to pray about this. But Lord, we know that you are all-powerful and all-knowing, all-loving. Lord, that you care for your sheep. Lord, I just pray that you would grant peace to this family, Lord, first of all, and solace, that you would comfort them in their time of need, and Lord, that you would make what needs to happen there to happen. Lord, that there would just be an outpouring of your grace and mercy over them, and your power, and over all the things that need to be done there, Lord. There's so much that it is beyond our capability to imagine, but we know you're there, that you handle these things. Yeah. Lord, we just pray that as this broadcast goes out this morning, that it would be a benefit to your people and to those who will be your people, Lord, those who you have called, you have chosen. Lord, that it would strengthen, edify, encourage, and Lord, that it would light a fire under some of the fence sitters, that they would see that they need to get moving and get on the stick, make things happen for the furtherance of your kingdom. Lord, we know you don't need us, but we are pleased that you desire to have us be part of what's going on. Lord, we just pray that you would empower us, that you would make our minds sharp and our hands ready, that you would strengthen us, Lord, and that you would help us to grow in your knowledge and understanding. We pray all these things. Thank you, Lord, for watching over our families as well. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Tim.
Amen.
Yeah, well, there is definitely a lot to talk about, a lot going on in the world, and it's definitely exciting times. I've seen this article, wanted to start off by talking with it, and its title was Court Appears Likely to Side with Straight Woman in Reverse Discrimination Suit. And I'm just going to read a little bit of this. The Supreme Court on Wednesday was sympathetic to an Ohio woman who alleges that she was the victim of a reverse discrimination. Marlene Ames contends that she lost out on a promotion that she wanted and then was demoted simply because she is straight. With Ames and her employer and what Justice Neil Gorsuch described as radical agreement that the federal employment laws impose the same requirements on all plaintiffs, a solid majority, if not all, the justices appeared ready to overturn a ruling by a federal appeals court that required Ames to meet a higher bar for her case to go forward than if she had been a member of a minority group. And we talked about this a couple of times. I remember talking about it when this originally happened and how she was, you know, basically coming out trying to say, hey, you know, I got demoted and was the person and the only person, from what I understand, that was qualified for her job. And they gave it to her basically because she wasn't a homosexual.
Yeah, looking into that, you know, it's not just that she got missed or passed up for a job. She was actually demoted and had her wage cut in half for being a straight woman. I mean, essentially, that's what it comes down to.
Wow. Yeah. Well, I hope that they get that. I hope that they get that straightened out because just for it to get this far, from what I'm seeing, I mean, it's got to be a miracle for it to get as far as it has with her, as far as her concerning her lawsuit, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, and, yeah. You know, what you were talking about there, that lower federal court essentially was saying that she doesn't have standing, that because she's a white heterosexual woman, she can't claim discrimination. That was the ruling from the federal court. The Supreme Court has reversed that, saying, no, she can't. Well, which I think is a miracle.
It is a miracle. Praise the Lord. Yeah. That's exciting.
Yeah. There's a lot of loading that we're seeing in some of these lower courts that have that are being reversed in favorable ways. Everything from basically that's a defamation lawsuit. I mean, that's what that amounts to. They defamed her because she's a straight woman. We're seeing a lot of turnarounds in those, and a lot of turnarounds in what, gun control, stuff like that, EPA stuff. There's a lot of these reversals coming on up the line that are saying they're either sending it back down for review from the higher court going, hey, do it again, you didn't get it right, or,
It's funny you say that, Tim, because I heard it was kind of late last night, and I looked into it just a little bit. kind of at least under my radar. It may have been on y'all's radar, but during the 4 years of Biden, there was over 120 federal judges appointed by Biden.
Wow.
And
that seems like a lot, doesn't it?
And it seems like a huge amount to me. It's not something I keep track of, but it was 120 out of 30 per year that were appointed to the bench by Biden in these federal district courts all across the United States. So I think that kind of haws and gees with what you're saying there, Tim, that I think the Supreme Court is going to be pretty busy, probably overturning lower rulings.
It seems to be going on. I mean, they're fighting. I know I've been watching some of the gun control cases, or what we call gun control cases, and a lot of these lower courts are ignoring the upper ruling, saying, well, you know, it's that was, it, you know, extended circumstances, or this is a kind of a unique case, and we don't have to apply it. And then it goes back up for review, and then it goes back down. They say do it again. And I think there's a day coming here where there's going to be some, like, look, we're done messing with you guys. Get it right. So, yeah, it's very telling, and there's definitely a pileup at the Supreme Court level. I mean, some of this stuff I know they're not hearing right now just because they don't have time. So, not that they don't want to. I just seen a deal, review of, I guess you would call it a press release from the EPA, the director of the EPA, saying how they're going to dress down these, automotive standards and everything else as far as deletes on diesels and different things like that going. That may not sound like a big deal to some people, but it's been huge. They've basically yanked the rug out from under the consumer on automobiles. The prices are just stupid expensive. The vehicles are unusable and everything else. And there's no real way to fix these problems. And the fixes that do exist have brought the EPA down on the necks of the shops and stuff that have repaired them to the tunes of millions of dollars. And there's a whole bunch of, we're going to walk that back. We're going to walk that way back. So, so that's uniquely interesting. And there's a lot of, it's a breath of fresh air. Let's put it that way. Yeah. So,
oh, it is. I mean, that EPA, everything that they've been trying to do, and I know that a lot of that stuff is, you know, state by state, but at the same time, it's just a bunch of garbage. I mean, our catalytic converter in the state of Colorado went from being $200 to, we had to adopt, I can't remember, I think it was three states that Colorado became the third one, but it was California emission standards. And catalytic converter, basically, you can buy the same catalytic converter, but you're paying for a stamp on it that you get. And when you go to get your emissions done, they want to see that. They're visually inspecting your catalytic converter. And if it's been changed recently, you have to have that piece of paperwork in the glove box. Now, it doesn't matter if it works or if it doesn't work. It doesn't matter. You can, you know, it tests the emissions on it. And if it's working fine, and it's working like it's supposed to, it doesn't matter. But it went from basically, you know, $150 to $200, let's just say on the high side, $200 to get a catalytic converter replaced, to upwards of $2,500. And a lot of instances, a lot more than that, depending on the vehicle. I'm talking about a $3,000 to $4,000 vehicle that needs a catalytic converter. If it needs a catalytic converter, you're going to spend a couple grand on it. And it doesn't matter about it doing its job or anything. And then they wanted to adopt these emission standards to farmers and ranchers and stuff. And it's like, yeah, I mean, you guys are on crack. You guys, I mean, it's destruction, and it's, you know, going after, to me, it's just another way of going after our food source and trying to get people off the land and get people where they can't farm and they can't ranch. And that's what they, you know, that's what, you know, their end game is. But, you know, that it is horrible. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say that makes as much sense as killing a million chickens because one laying hen has sniffles.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, you're back to the same thing. If what farmers can't farm, is that why there's no food? Is that why it's too expensive? No. It's because the government took something simple like putting seeds in the ground and harvesting them, and I'm not saying that's not work, guys. Anybody who listens to us knows we don't think that. But they took something simple that God designed to work that way and complicated it, you know, to the point that it's nearly impossible. So, it occurred to me yesterday as we're talking about this, you know, the amount of paperwork that these farmers fill out, they literally have a large portion of ag school, quote unquote, now when these kids go to ag school out of high school, is strictly related to filling out the proper paperwork so that you can do what you need to do on the farm. I mean, they're not, you know, if you went to ag school, it would seem to me that you would learn how to, you know, plant crops, how to make them grow better, what nutrients they need, what ground covers to use and would benefit you the most. But no. Now we have to know how to fill out all this paperwork, you know.
Well, and
Tim, I thought this week. Go ahead, Jason.
Well, and I was just going to add what Tim was saying. It's like, and a huge part of that is how to get your grants and your loans from the federal government. And,
exactly.
You know, basically you're signing up for the welfare system for your land. And that's, from what I understand, that's a huge part of it. And they have just continuing education classes on that. And I know when I was doing some farming and ranching up in Idaho, it was continued education, and that was a huge part of it. And it was the guys that were making the money were the guys that knew how to fill out the paperwork the best.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And it all, go ahead, Will.
Go ahead, Tim.
Well, I just think it's interesting that when we look at it, you know, it occurred to me the other day that God talks about in the Bible over and over again about them worshiping these idols of wood and stone and metal. And I was thinking about the fact that all this paperwork is made out of wood pulp, you know, and it's like, yeah, it's just another idol. So anyways, go ahead.
Now, my one little comment is we know there's a war on our culture and they want to destroy our culture. And it was interesting to me. I was reading an article and I saw that the article was referring to some farming, and it wasn't referring to it as agriculture. It was referring to it as agronomics. And it seems like they took the culture right out of our farming.
Yeah.
No doubt. Yeah.
Well, I got one in front of me that, you know, another reason we need to get rid of some of these stinking judges, probably an Obama. I'll have to look at that when I get off the radio, but it was probably an Obama-appointed judge. But it says court allows Trump to enforce DEI ban, but then it turned around and talks about how the ban on the diversity, equity, and inclusives, the DEI programs at a federal level will be allowed to continue thanks to the appeals court decision. And basically, they're coming out and they're saying that, you know, it's constitutional and it's a constitutionally protected program. And it's like, how far do people really believe this stuff sometimes? I mean, it's do you really think that our forefathers fought and died and bled and worked for a DEI program? I mean, it's you know. And these companies that want to stick with it, you know, I still say, you know, go woke and go broke.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, our Constitution, the Declaration of Independence there says that all men are created equal, and equal being the key word, equity means that some men are more equal than others. And so it's a perversion of what it should be. That's for sure.
I haven't even thought of that. That's good. That makes a lot of sense. And that's what they do. They you know, it's not that they don't want to be equal. They want to be superior.
Yes.
They had this gal, the whatever it was down just south of us in Loveland that repeatedly attacked the Tesla dealership and vandalized it and tried to burn it down. And it's like, you look at this, it was funny because the local newspapers, they really portrayed it as, you know, a woman. They didn't show any pictures of her. And there's some national, I don't know, InfoWars and some other different places that actually dug into, you know, this pretty. And it's like, is it a man? Is it a woman? Is it a woman transitioned into a man? Is it a man that's transitioned to a woman? It's like, I don't know. It's an it. And you look at it and it's like, okay, I just threw up in my mouth. It's something that's wrong, whatever it is. But, yeah, and it's just, you know, it's interesting as how, you know, how much they try to cover up and change the facts. You know, it used to be, I thought you could, you know, you read the news and you can get informed on stuff and stay on top. But there is so much deception in the news, and they can twist it and turn it to their narrative in so many ways. And, you know, that's what you, I don't know. It's interesting. And I think that, you know, that's why we've just got to continue to pray for, you know, wisdom and knowledge and understanding and, you know, pray for, you know, that guidance of the Holy Spirit. We got to, you know, have discernment is what we've got to have. And I'm excited about the article that we put in this Last Dragon Slayer newsletter magazine. And we've got that one. It went out. It's on the way to you folks. So, you know, definitely let me know when you get that. And if you're not receiving it, I'd like to get it to you. But talk about, you know, the two sinners involved in deception. And a lot of it was taken from some Pastor Peter's early writings. But I really believe that it was time and that information needed to be put into print and we needed to get it out. And I was, you know, putting this last newsletter together was, you know, every month lately, I've been like, okay, well, I got this one done now. What are we going to put in this next newsletter? And thankfully, the Lord just, he is, you know, just putting stuff together. He brings stuff to mind. He, you know, definitely assisting. And I know that that is the Holy Spirit working in a mighty and powerful way. And I'm grateful for that. Had somebody call me and say, you know, wow, how did you do this? And then, you know, it's like, no, I, you know, couldn't have done it on my own. That's for sure. There's a lot of people that are involved in it. And I, you know, but I give the credit to the Holy Spirit because these things just come together and they seem to flow. And praise the Lord for that. It is awesome to be able to see that. So there's a little bit of an infomercial for the Dragon Slayer Newsletter Magazine. If you would like to receive it, just shoot me an email. Send me your address. We'll send it to you in print format. Or we also do have it at the website, www.scriptureforamerica.org. And we got it. We do an email one also, and I can email it to you. So if you'd like to receive it that way, just shoot me your email, and we'll get it out to you.
Awesome indeed.
Well, and I think that one of the other interesting things to go back to this whole writing thing is the fact that there was an oversight project just recently, and there's been some news out on that. According to this oversight project, every single signature that Biden put on documents was auto-pinned, except for the one where he dropped out of the 2024 election. So the problem with that is that is not a, you know, legal binding signature from the president on any of those documents. So there's a whole bunch of there's a whole storm coming down on robo-signing over this, because basically, if that's the case, everything he signed is of no effect. And it goes back into that. And, you know, the more they dig into all this stuff, the more what BS they find. I mean, it's like, wow, bombshells. But, you know, anyway.
And that, you know, that ties directly with what Jason was saying as far as the deception, right? Is it just 4 years of deception that we actually had someone in the White House leading this country?
Yeah. And who was the person pushing the button to sign it? I mean, there was actually...
That's right.
Some information.
Who was actually leading the country? Yeah.
Yeah. One of the insiders from who was a key Biden aide said that they didn't disclose the identity of this aide that was doing all this. But basically that aide said, I feared no one as much as I feared that staffer. To me, the staffer basically was the president. The person said, no one ever questioned the staffer, period. You know, really? So, okay. No scrutiny there.
Yeah, no doubt. What? Yeah, and that's something we'll probably address in some future programs. Just a lot of stuff that's coming out on that, and that's exciting. But, you know, I'll tell you what, the weather's been warming up weather's definitely changing. We're almost towards spring. It's exciting. I love this time of year. I mean, just it rained the other day. It was kind of funny. Yesterday, about 5 o'clock in the morning, it was raining. It rained until about 8 o'clock, 8:30, and then it turned to snow. And it was some big fat snowflakes. I mean, it was, and it was coming down, and it started coming down, and pretty soon it was a whiteout. And warm enough where, you know, as soon as the snow hit the ground, it was melting. But it was pretty cool. It cooled down, and then it ended up warming back up and turned it into a beautiful day. And I like this time of year. I like it. We had a really good rain last week, and just walked outside, and the smell was amazing. And it was like, okay, spring was in the air, and I was just excited about it. All of springtime, to me, you do the spring cleaning, you get things cleaned out, you start planting and planning your garden. And that's what my wife, she'd been out here and came out to the shop and set up some tables, and we got our light set up, and we try to do all our starts from seed. A lot of people, you know, like to go to the plant sales and buy their plants and this and that, and there's nothing wrong with any of that. We've started doing this several years ago, and it works good for us. We got the space to be able to do it, and you set up some 8-foot tables, and you know, putting potting soil in planters and planting seed. And you know, sometimes we got a really good germination rate. Sometimes we don't. Last year, gardening was not real good for us. I mean, but we still got plenty, but it wasn't as good as it had been in the past. And some of that was, you know, things that I need to correct, need to change, need to do things a little bit different. And some of it, I just don't know. Some of the stuff I thought I was really doing right, and it didn't seem like it produced as well as it should. But it's exciting times, and it's, you know, gardening season, and there's a lot of different ways that people do that. I encourage people to do it. I know for my wife, she just absolutely loves it. It's a lot of work, and she puts a lot of labor into it, but it's a labor of love. And it's, you know, it's something that, you know, she knows that when she's doing this, she's providing good, nutritious, nutrient-dense food for her family, and means a lot to her. And, people that I think it is a blessing, and I think it's just because it's, you know, it gets you closer to some of God's creation when you're able to do that. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. In our household, Jason, we call that the Genesis plan for happiness, of being good stewards of what God has given us as far as resources and especially the earth. And I know several years ago, we figured out that it is, it's good fellowship with each other as far as our family, but also fellowshipping with God in his creation of just being outdoors and working the land. And for us, it certainly brings us closer to God and his creation of watching the plants grow and harvesting what they give us. And it's a good lesson for kids too, if you have kids in the house still, of kind of going back to what we've talked about, is if you don't work, you don't eat. You know, it's a good visual, physical realization of getting fruit from your work product. It's a good thing. So it is a good thing, and more people should go outside. It doesn't matter if it's a container or a 5-gallon bucket or what have you. Go out there and plant something and play in the dirt.
I agree.
Exactly.
One of the things that I've noticed with the, you know, with my children is too, is, you know, responsibility is, you know, they've all seem like they always have something, whether it's a pumpkin plant or a pepper plant or something that, you know, they plant the seed on, they make it grow or they don't make it grow, but you know what I mean? They're taking care of it, and you know, they get it out there in the garden, and they've got to check it, and they've got to learn how to water it. And it teaches responsibility. And like you said, we got the same saying around our house: you don't work, you don't eat. And sometimes when I hear some grumbling about getting something done, I just say, you know, you don't work. And they're like, well, yep, they know what's coming out. And I'm like, and I'm pretty sure you guys like to work or like to eat around here. So,
well, it definitely is a real ministry, and it puts in place work ethics, and it also puts in place, I think, wonder. I mean, to this day, I find myself with childlike wonder when you put a seed in the ground and this plant comes out and brings these things out. And, you know, it gets rid of the 7-Eleven mentality in that I want this right now, you know, because it's like, but you get to watch it grow, and then you get the reward when you stay steady and when you keep your input up. It's just, that's the way God's blessings work. They're not always right now. Sometimes it takes a little effort. It takes a little while, but the reward is there. So, you know, it's a good training tool. It benefits everyone, and it's a ministry of, love and caring for not only you, because your neighbors get the excess, your neighbors get the, you know, there's always this, you don't want to give your neighbor a rotten squash or, you know, cruddy tomatoes. I mean, when you're got all this extra, you're like, you want people to go, wow, those are really nice. And so you want to make sure that, you know, everybody gets good stuff. And I think that's another thing, to bring out our best in us.
I think it pulls us into our pioneering past too, of like what you said with the 7-Eleven, of it is possible that, with, you know, some effort and work, we can make something, appear out of nothing, you know, through God's grace. And I think, whether people know it or not, that is pulling them back into our forefathers, you know, taming this land and providing for their future generations. And I think it is a part of keeping us grounded. I know Jason and I have talked about this offline, of being grounded. You know, to me, it's like driving a copper rod down into the ground to protect your house from lightning strikes. You know, take your shoes off and go outside and work in the garden, and that's grounding us back in God's word and God's plan for our life, and that too will protect our family.
Amen.
Absolutely. Adam was built to do what? Dress and keep the garden. I mean, that was one of
that's right.
That was one of the functions that he was built for. So if you want to get, it's like going back to your roots, you know? So,
yep. Yeah, that's that Genesis plan. You know, God told us early on in Genesis that he's given us, you know, all the plants that yield seed and trees that bear fruit. And that's for our food. And we're supposed to tend those. So I think it's part of God's plan, and we should go back to it.
I agree. And we do have quite a few books on gardening. Also at the bookstore at sfaw.org, and we got a list of them too. We can send it to you. And you know, just want to throw this out there too. We're trying to find good information on the subject. So if anybody's got any books that they would recommend on gardening tips, I do like those. Those have a lot of people have ordered those. They've learned a lot. They've benefited the people that have read them. And I'm always looking for good content. So if anybody does have any recommendations on that, I'm always looking. So keep that in mind too. And, you know, just, you know, it's good time of year. Like Will said, he said, was talking about, you know, container gardens, this and that. You don't have to do it on a large scale. I know a lot of people that, grow a couple tomato plants or some pepper plants and put them in pots or 5-gallon buckets or, you know, straw bales or, you know, different things and do them on their back porch. Some people do it in a window. Some people do it. There's all different kinds of ways that you can do it. You don't think that you have to have a big, huge area, you know, and a lot of equipment to be able to do it. You can do it. You can do it small scale. You can do it large scale. It, you know, it's just, and I think that all of it is, you know, definitely when you spend that time and you grow a pepper plant and when you eat a pepper off of that pepper plant, that is one of the best tasting peppers that you will ever have.
Exactly. It's kind of funny, you know, if you don't like vegetables particularly, I know as a kid I can remember being like, you know, but when you grow it tastes different. It's like, I've been hoeing on this baby all summer, I'm gonna eat it. You know, so
Well, we had gold hit $3,000 an ounce this week. That was, and silver got up to over $34 an ounce. And I seen this this news article, and I had to laugh. I heard this thing on the, you know, okay, we're going to do an audit on Fort Knox. And there was an article that somebody sent me that says, whose gold, if anyone's, is there gold in Fort Knox? And I remember Pastor Peter's driving down the road, and they were talking about something. We were listening to something on the radio, and you know, he just laughed, and he looked at me and said, there's no gold in Fort Knox. He's like, they got rid of that a long time ago. And I'm like, what? And he's like, oh, yeah. He's like, if they ever did an audit on that, he's like, I bet you my boots that they don't find any gold in there, that's already all been stolen. And it was just kind of it was kind of something that was out of the blue, but it was kind of funny at the same time. And
one more thing that Pastor Peters had right before anyone else.
Exactly. Yep. And it was just like, oh, matter of fact, you know, and I'm like, okay. And I always wanted to ask him what, you know, more on that. And we just never talked a lot about it, but I wish I would have. It was one of those things that I definitely wish we would have had to continue on with that conversation. But I don't know. What are you guys' thoughts on that? It's kind of interesting.
Did y'all know about this gold leasing program? I've never heard of this. Do you know about it, Tim? Speak to it if you do.
I have heard about it in the past. I do think it's interesting that right now, I mean, currently, the amount of air flights coming from London, which is the Bank of England or the Crown Syndicate, I mean, when you get into some of those kind of things, and that's getting a little ways down the road, but they're importing gold back to the United States right now at a rate that has never happened. I mean, it's like, and so the next question is why? I mean, where are they putting it when it's coming back? Is it going back into Fort Knox? Well, we got to get that back over there where it's supposed to be. Because,
there's going to be an audit. We got to prove that it's there.
Yeah. You know, it's like renting somebody's house that isn't yours. Oh, there's a house empty down the road. I'll rent it to this guy. Well, it's not your house.
You know? Well, so?
How does that work? Yeah. It's like, but they're going to pay me for it. You're fixing to get in a whole bunch of trouble.
Yeah.
I know several years ago, I guess we were holding or supposed to be holding some of Germany's gold. And I don't know, it's been 10, 15 years ago, and they requested their gold back. And we told them it would take 6 years to get it to them. So that, to me, tells me that it's not there. It's gone somewhere else.
Yeah, no doubt. Okay. Yeah, I put some. I mean, that's
to
just
me,
insanity.
That's the cat's out of the bag. Yeah, if I'm holding something for you, and if I borrow your circular saw, Jason, and you ask for it back, and I tell you it's going to take me 6 years to get it back to you, that means I don't have your circular saw.
Yeah. Okay. I think that I'm going to be going and buying another circular saw, and you know, starting over, and maybe I'll be smarter and not loan it out. This next time, or loan it to somebody with a little bit better character or something like that. I don't know.
Where did I put that?
Yeah. Or better yet, who did I loan it to who loaned it to someone who loaned it to someone?
Oh, yeah.
You know, you have to track it back. So,
well, that's when you think about it over the time, too. I mean, some of that stuff, I think, I'm not sure how long some of that stuff has been sitting there, but I think it's been quite some time, supposedly. And so if that stuff's been sitting there for 20 years or 30 years, and I mean, just even the way that, I mean, I know that our government could lose track of it, but I think that some of these other governments could lose track of it too. And, I mean, you know, okay, what do they, would they look at it like a bank account and say, who's keeping track of the statements on this? Oh yeah, we have this much gold over here in the United States. And, you know, to me, that just seems kind of stupid anyway. It's like, oh, yeah, we've got, you know, $20 billion worth of gold or, you know, however much, you know, $1 billion worth of gold. And it's over there in the United States in Fort Knox. It's like that. Yeah, that seems real smart. Huh?
You know, and I was thinking if we're leasing these gold reserves, so, you know, we're not actually holding it. We're just saying we're holding it, but we're leasing it to this country. Well, I mean, that's such a good scheme. Why can't that country do the same thing? And how many times has this gold been subleased And what is the real value of gold then? You know, if there's just this finite amount, on paper, it may look like we have a lot more than we do as far as gold bullion. Does that make sense what I'm saying?
Yeah, it does. And it sounds kind of like fraud.
It's similar to the silver market. I mean, we know that silver certificates are issued as for investment purposes, and we also know that those in the know, when they're looking at it, they're going, wait a minute, there's more silver certificates out there, given what we know is out there, given what we know is available physically. According to the numbers I see, there's enough silver certificates out there that two or three times over what is available in the world physically. So, yeah, that's kind of fraud, I think.
Yeah, it kind of sounds like it's artificially inflated for profit. I know if me and you and Tim did that, we would be talking this over on a card game in prison about where we went wrong. But the federal government, that's a different story.
Talk to the Hunt brothers. They know all about that.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yes.
Oh, wow. Yeah. No, interesting. Definitely something to keep an eye on. I don't know. I think that there's going to be some of this stuff that's more of this stuff that is going to be brought to light. That's for sure. There's a lot of things that are being brought to light. That's encouraging. This week, Maxine Waters says Trump is pushing us into a civil war. And, it's kind of more sadal rattling, so to speak. Interesting. I don't know. I haven't seen that for sure. I think that, there is a lot of things that are changing. I'm excited about a lot of these things that are changing. And, it's stuff that we're seeing things being said and action taking place that we, I was thinking about it, and it's we've never seen it before, because it's never happened before. Just encouraging people, we need to keep praying. Now is the time. There's a lot of people out there that are like, Trump's our savior, this or that. He's doing this, he's doing that. I believe that God is doing what God is doing. I believe that it is the power of prayer. God's working in a lot of different areas, and just encouraging people, humble themselves, seek his face, turn from their wicked ways, because it's a cause and effect scripture, 2 Chronicles 7:14. Then I'm going to do this. And it is the crying out to God and the prayers of the faithful that, are needed right now. And we need to keep praying more than ever. There's so many things that are going on that, keep praying. And I encourage you, Remnant, keep praying out there, praying. Cause, that's what we need right now you strike when the iron, is hot. And I believe that now is the time that we have the ability to get a lot of truth out there. And, the messages that we've been putting out, I think, are just timely. I think they tie in and they're making more sense to people out there than ever before. The stuff that I've been able to introduce people to, Richard Kelly Hoskins and some of Jack Moore stuff, that have never heard that stuff before. And before, they wouldn't even, they wouldn't have listened to it because it would have been or was or is, named racist or anti-Semitic or this or that. They got these labels on it. And that in the past would have turned people off from, listening to some of Pete Peter's stuff, Jack Moore, so on and so forth stuff. And now is the time where I've been able to share this stuff, and people are excited about it and they're listening to it. And they don't care about it having a label on it, because those labels are, I don't know what the word would be. They're proven to be a bunch of garbage, I guess. And I'm not sure exactly how to put it, and I don't even know if I'm making any sense, but does that make sense? Do you guys understand what I'm trying to say?
Yes, sir. I think the spiritual consciousness of God's people who are called by his name it's rising. They're becoming, just like you were talking about spring earlier, my own opinion, it brings that renewal, that hope of new things. And it's the same way here in our Christian walk. There's a new hope, a new rising of spiritual awareness of what God wants to do and of the possibilities of doing things God's way, what, you know, how it could be blessed. And the enigmas, the labels, the pigeonholes, they've all, they're kind of all been swept away, right? There's this opening of a door, you know, to see through and see how God wants to do things. You know, there's things coming out that they can't put back in the bag. Well, if they lied about that, what else did they lie about? If they're doing this, what else are they doing? You know, the enemy's tricks don't stand the light of day or the light of, you know, God's word. So I think that's what's going on.
Yeah, along those lines, I think everything has a season. We know that. And I think there was a season where these messages of truth and the message, the people bringing the messages were labeled a certain thing. And going right along with what Tim was saying, I think that season has probably came and went. And we are in a new season now where people's eyes have been opened. You know, the scales have been taken off their eyes and they're realizing that they were duped and deceived. And when they realize they were duped and deceived on one thing, they start asking themselves the question, what else have I been lied to about? And I think that goes back to having eyes to see and ears to hear once you see something, you don't unsee it. And I think that's why right now, kind of tied it back into the theme of gardening and farming, you know, we have a fertile field right now. You know, it has been plowed and prepared for us as far as people's conscience and spiritual awakening. And there's no greater time now than for these truth bombs, these seeds of truth to be planted. And I think it's a great time. It's a great time right now to be alive and to be watching and experiencing this.
Yeah, and the scripture, as we're talking about this, I turned to, and I think it ties in, is found in Isaiah 52, and I'm going to read just verse 1 and 2. It says, "Awake, awake, clothe yourself in the strength, in your strength, Zion. Clothe yourself with your beautiful garments, Jerusalem, the holy city, for the uncircumcised and the unclean will no longer come into you. Shake yourself from the dust. Rise up, captive Jerusalem. Release yourself from the chains around your neck, captive daughter of Zion. For this is what the Lord says. You were sold for nothing, and you will be redeemed without money." Well, you know, and that's one of the things, I mean, just so much of the scripture. It's like people are waking up. People are, you know, they're waking up, and the bondage, I think so much of that bondage is they're being released in their mind. They were held captive in their mind by thinking something to be true when it was untrue. And there's that awakening, and that bondage is being broken. And it's not the money that's going to save people. It's not so many people have put their trust in. It's not the gold in Fort Knox that's going to save us. You know, it's that blood of Jesus Christ. And encouraged by the response that we got back on this last week, I put two messages on Spotify. That one of them was Seven Ducks in a Muddy River. And the other one was Baptism, Believe It or Not. And I listened to that Baptism, Believe It or Not several times just because it was such a good message. And it just, you know, it made the point. And so many of the points that, you know, people just, you know, that Baal priests tend to spew out of their mouth in fighting and arguing against baptism and how it is essential. And anyway, I was encouraged by that. And you know, it's the season, like you said, it's the season, and the seasons are changing. And praise God, that's awesome.
Yeah, I got one comment on that, Jason, just real quick.
Yeah.
And what came to mind while you were talking was the Judeo-Christian Church. I know personally I've experienced firsthand just adversity when it comes to people's acceptance of baptism as part of salvation. And earlier we were talking about the Holy Spirit, and I think that's one thing that is just sorely missed from the pulpits and have been now for a generation of the Judeo-Christian Church, is what we receive in baptism is the Holy Spirit. That's the gift. And the Holy Spirit is our advocate, our helper. Scripture tells us that. It helps us to discern and see things for what they are. And I think that's where we've gotten, or how we've gotten, or at least part of how we've gotten to where we're at, with just this blindness to sin and evil. and the openness to deception in our society. And I think, to me, at least, as far as this truth that we're talking about and the ears that are hearing and the eyes that are seeing for the first time and hearing the saving message of baptism through Scriptures for America, that is what will move us forward in this battle, because I think what you will see is more and more of our people, the remnant, being filled with the Holy Spirit. And I think once that occurs, there's going to be less and less deception. Does that make sense?
That makes a lot of sense. Yes, it does.
Okay. I just wanted to pass that on. It came to mind and wanted to get it out.
Well, John 4:35 says, say not ye there are yet 4 months and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And that should be encouragement to understand that there's already lots to do. I mean, we know that there's already things out there, and even don't be looking down, don't be all depressed, get your eyes lifted up, and there's plenty of things that you can do that net you. The other thing about harvest is, what does it do? It nets you a crop. It nets you an income. It nets you benefits. I mean, there's plenty to do, and there's lots of things to do. Get your eyes lifted up from the ground and get excited about it. You know, it's not, oh, well, that's in the future. You know, there's things to do right now.
Amen.
Yeah, it's hard to be bored on a farm, Tim. There's always something to do. And I think that's, as far as our Christian walk, we should look at it as that too. There's always more we can do.
Amen.
No, and that's one of the things that I've noticed. It's like I've seen other people say that before, and I've seen other people's children say that before. It's you know, I'm bored. And I mean, I just shake my head and I'm like, I've never been bored. I mean, I don't think I ever have. And I know my children aren't. I mean, it's there's always a list of stuff that needs to be done. And it's kind of funny. But anyway, I wanted to read another scripture Derek sent in. And he said that if people would read their Bible, they would know. Esau is behind it all, the modern day Jew. Zephaniah 1:18 says, neither the silver nor their gold will be able to save them on the day of the Lord's anger, and all the earth will be devoured by the fire of his jealousy, for he will make a complete end, indeed, a horrifying one, all of the inhabitants of the earth. And, good scripture. I appreciate that. We got about 5 minutes left. Closing thoughts, gentlemen.
Well, there's just all kinds of opportunities out there, all for the kingdom, for yourself. I mean, I think our attitude should be just praise God for another day. And really, that saying, sometimes another day in paradise, people say it almost with a slur, but actually, God has a plan for us, and I feel blessed to be part of it. So. We don't have any reason to be downtrodden.
I was thinking that, you know, all governments are appointed by God, and they could be appointed for prosperity or judgment, depending on God's will. And I do believe that we're entering into a time now, at least in this country, of prosperity. But I want folks to remember the prosperity is the time where we need to store up and prepare for maybe not such a prosperous time, and to keep that in mind. And as we go forward, and just with the idea of live your life working hard and preparing for what's to come, and just press on and praise God in all that we do.
Amen. And I wanted to close out with, I agree with you, gentlemen. And, you know, it is exciting times that we're living in. At the same time, it's keep your powder dry. It's the times could change in at the snap of a finger. Wind blows one direction one minute, and the other direction another minute. And we don't know. We just need to stay in the shelter of the Most High. And I just want to close out with another scripture, Proverbs 3. I'm going to read verses 5 and 6, but it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. And I think that's key right now, and that's what we need to be doing. putting our trust in our God, and He's going to take care of us. Sometimes that's not easy for some people, and I've seen a lot of people that have struggled with it. But this is truth, and that's what we need to be doing. Does that make sense?
Does make sense.
Amen.
All right, Remnant. Well, I appreciate you being here this morning. Thanks for listening to this Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers this morning. Join us for church tomorrow by going to www.scriptureforamerica.org. We're going to close out with a song.
I had this crazy dream about some folks who love this country who all began to dream the same dream. When the morning came, there arose across this nation people thinking one and the same. And they awoke to find their freedoms and all their liberties had gradually been taken away. And when they realized the danger to their posterity, I heard those patriotic people say, "We want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and